Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Once upon an office so dreary, Wendy's HR presentation made everyone weary.
Was it a bore?
A snore. Could have used more charm for sure.
That's it.
Wendy opened Canva, looking ecstatic. She began to work her magic.
Docs, prints, presentations galore. All in one design. Not dull anymore.
The next day, Wendy wowed the crowd. They clapped loud.
I feel so proud.
Now, imagine what your dreams can become when you put imagination to work at Canva.com.
Let's head out to the phone lines and let's talk to Benjamin Albright. I like Benjamin Albright. He's always from afar. He always seems to. I don't know if it's you, Benjamin, but sometimes it seems like you stir things up a little bit. At least you say some things and people react to it. I do that a little bit myself, but I enjoy that from you, Benjamin Albright, who, as I said, has been reporting for the Broncos for years and reports for the Broncos flagship. And is an insider at KOA Colorado. Ben, we appreciate you joining us. And by the way, I heard right before we got on that Clint Sterner won you a fantasy football league. I'm trying to hear
would
that.
Would you have the Giants defense in 2001 or what?
No, I started Clint Sterner over Rich Gannon. This was October 28th of 2001. Rich was up against a red-hot Philadelphia defense. I was leading my league, and I was like, well, I don't know if I want to start Rich or not. Clint was getting the start after I think it was Anthony Wright or Quincy Carter went down. And Rich was only good for 6 points that day. Didn't score a touchdown. Clint, of course, you ran one in against Arizona and wound up being worth 9 points. That got me to the number one seed later on. And if I'd been two, I would have played a guy and lost in the opening round of the playoffs. Instead, I cruised to victory through the playoffs. So I put it on the trophy there, Benjamin Albright, co-captain by Clint Sterner.
I'll be damned. You got to be kidding me. Well, I tell
I
would have bet a house note that you had that Giants defense that following week.
Benjamin, you don't have to say dead serious. After all those details you gave from 2001, yes, we believe you. He's told me about that touchdown he ran in against Arizona.
QB draw, a finger roll. Everybody says, man, you could have dunked. Mm-hmm. I said, no, I couldn't dunk before that. Why would I wait till that moment to try to dunk something? I did that sweet finger roll, baby.
Oh, I swear to you, there was nobody happier for that touchdown after you, maybe, than me.
yeah, you had to meet Linda, his mom, first. But we were talking about this earlier. The Texans, they face the Rams, the Seahawks, and the Bucks this year. We're trying to figure out, is this Denver team the best team that the Texans have seen? What are they looking at? Because we've seen Denver do some things, go on the road and beat the Eagles in the fourth quarter after trailing, had that crazy comeback against the Giants. How good is this Denver Broncos team?
Well, that's what we're trying to figure out. I mean, they're 6-2. We don't know if they're any good. It's a team that had, with all due respect to Clint's former team, we might have to start calling them the Alice Cowboys because there's no D to be found. But they had that outburst this past week. But you look at the 3 weeks prior to that, it took fourth quarter comebacks against the Giants, the Jets, and then of course the Eagles prior to that. In order to put wins on, they had close losses against the Colts and the Chargers that probably shouldn't have been losses. This team is tough to figure out, and this will be by far the most difficult defense they've played all year. They've actually had the easiest schedule in the league in terms of defenses played. So, that's sort of the question. They're 6-2, but are they any good? They play to the level of competition that they're up against, and that's really been sort of the thing with them this year. They'll play up with good teams, they'll play down with bad teams. The offense is hit or miss. You know, Sean Payton's a brilliant offensive mind, but he gets too in his own mind at times. He gets away from the run. He starts spamming these screen plays that don't work. He's dialing up deep shots on fourth and short, stuff like that. That just blows your mind a little bit sometimes. They've got the bones to be a good offense, but that offense, if they get away from J.K. Dobbins, it goes south in a hurry. Defensively, they're good. They're real good up front. Zach Allen and John Franklin Myers will tie up blockers, and they love to bring five. They'll bring Benito Cooper. They like to bring a linebacker downhill and shoot that bubble at the B gap. So usually that's their nod. With Greenlaw back, you might see Singleton doing a little bit of that. You saw the Giants game where he blew up Cam Scatabo. But overall, they're a really good defense. Play a lot of man. It's a lot of cover one, robber looks, stuff like that. They'll show you too high, but they'll rotate the one robber. But they're a good defense. The offense is just the gigantic question mark here.
What about the defense as it moves forward without Surtain? I mean, that's obviously, especially if they're playing that much man and playing robber, all this kind of jive, that's going to be a big miss. How big do you think that is in this game?
That's going to be huge. I mean, he takes away part of the field. Riley Moss on the other side, who's not a bad corner, but just a little maligned with these flags. Some of them are legit. Some of them are the white guy playing corner getting flags. You look at this thing, and Moss is a decent corner, but there's a big question mark over here with Chris Abrams-Drain. He'll be the first man up to replace Surtain. Surtain takes away, a third of the field, half the field, whatever, however they're playing, and teams just don't throw at him. Now with Abrams-Drain over there, I imagine they'll probably – Houston will probably target him, and the rookie Jahdae Barrett will get rotated in there a little bit, although he plays more out of the slot. That's the big question mark here. They've got good safety play, but Ufanga's more of a box safety than anything else. Brandon Jones is kind of the high safety. They don't like to run a lot of too high. They'll show that look, but they don't like to run it a lot. And so that's the question mark here, is if Abrams-Drain can hold his own on the outside.
Benjamin Albright joins us, who has covered the Broncos for years, reporter and insider, joins us. Listen, I'll be honest with you, and we're going to talk about this a lot through this week, because I believe this is the game for the Texans. The strength that I think of the Broncos is that front four and even that front seven, if you extend it out to that. And I think that has probably been a problem spot for the Texans when they run up against really good defensive line and defensive fronts. How good is this group for the Broncos?
Oh, it's pretty good. I mean, it's up there. I mean, I was privy to see the Super Bowl 50 Broncos defense, and I would put this front five, this front seven up with them. The back end, especially without Surtain, maybe not quite, but the front seven, sure. They got a three-man front with two edge rushers and Benito and Cooper, and they like to bring, like I said, Singleton, Sternad coming downhill. Greenlaw, this will only be his second game with the Broncos. He had one against the Giants, and then, of course, he was suspended for the Dallas game for running after and threatening the official, but he'll be back for this one. That gives them a linebacker that can go away from the football at times too. They don't really have that. Singleton's more of a sideline to sideline guy. Sternad's a downhill guy. So, that'll give him something. But, Benito especially will surprise you. He's just got amazing athleticism as a player, and he can go away from the ball a little bit. They'll drop him back two, three times a game to try to throw you off. But it starts up front. You've got DJ Jones and Malcolm Roach platooning at the nose. Zach Allen and John Franklin Myers, is the other ends in that 34. And they'll tie up blockers, man. Allen can move the pile. You get cleanup sacks from Cooper and Benito sometimes, because Allen will move the pocket a little bit. You got to be able to move. If you can move on that, move that pocket a little bit, you got a little mobility to them, you stand a chance. If you're statuesque, you're in for a long day.
When you look at Denver's offense, I know you said it's been inconsistent. Bo's played well. They've ran it well. They use a ton of different personnel and attack a ton of different ways. But as somebody that covers and watches it, what are you convinced of at this point? Like, the Texans need to, or if they want to win, obviously need to focus on and contain X. What is that?
Well, I would say first thing, you need to rattle Bo early. He tends to run a little hot early, and that's one of those things where he'll make mistakes. In fact, you opened Dallas with that interception on, I think it was the third or fourth play. He just tends to run a little hot early. So if you're going to force turnovers, you want to do that early, because once he settles in, he settles in. You're not going to be able to get him to – you're not going to be able to sack him. You're just not. He gets rid of the ball so quick. He will make some mistakes. He will throw the ball a little high. He does get at that arm socket. He'll drop it down and throw it sidearm sometimes. That leads to mistakes. But, overall, he wants wants to get it out quick, doesn't want to take negative plays. So I would suggest that if you're going to do anything, you really want to do anything, copy the Giants game plan where they sort of mush rushed him a little bit, but they'd shoot their hands up. The defensive linemen shoot their hands up and bat the balls down because he drops that arm socket. And that's really the best you're going to do. You're not going to get too many sacks on him, maybe one, maybe two a game, but you can bat balls down on him. And that's really the way to shut that down. As far as the rushing attack goes, it really just depends on if Sean Payton's willing to be patient or not. Sean tends to shut his own rushing attack down at times, and it's very effective. J.K. Dobbins runs with authority. He catches the ball well. He pass protects well. He runs inside or outside. If it's Harvey, that's probably going to be an outside run. You're probably going to see, you know, that crack toss or that outside zone. You'll see a little bit of him, although he'll mostly be used as a receiver. And then you see Tyler Bidet on third downs, primarily as a blocking back in there if they pull Dobbins off the field. I think the main thing you got to watch out for is Evan Engram. I know everybody talks about Sutton and Mims and Franklin, but Ingram's got a little athleticism. He's more of a heavy slot than a tight end. In fact, he's played more snaps out of the slot than any tight end in the NFL this year. And he's there for the third down game. He's there to convert first downs. You got to keep an eye on him on third down.
Benjamin, as Clint was talking about maybe things that the Texans need to watch out for, I'm wondering from you, the Texans are a team that's been in the playoffs the last 2 years, a good football team. Last time they played the Broncos a couple of years ago, they got a win in NRG here in Houston. What for you do you think is the number one thing that concerns you about the Texans for the Broncos in this game?
I think it's a defense. I mean, Bo plays better against man teams. He struggled a little bit against the zone sometimes. And like I said, he runs a little hot. And then, you know, this offense has just struggled early in games. I mean, it takes off in the fourth quarter, but it struggles early in games. They didn't score any points the first three quarters against the New York Giants. And it's not that the Giants are world beaters. I mean, that defense is all right, but they're not out there lighting the world on fire. They struggled against the New York Jets and barely pulled that one out. It's just an offense that struggles early, and then Sean gets in his head and they start spamming those wide receiver screen plays that don't work. And then you get into a punt fest, and they almost turtle a little bit. They start playing it super conservative till they get to the fourth quarter and open it back up. So if the Broncos are going to win, they're going to have tempo on offense. And I'm just concerned going against that defense, because again, that is by far the best defense the Broncos have played all year.
All right, Benjamin, we appreciate you joining us. Congratulations on your 2001 fantasy football championship, courtesy of our guy Clint Sterner here.
Yeah, I'm 47, knocking on 48. I think the only person on the planet that started me in the league and won, brother. I appreciate that.
Well, and now you know who it was. Me that week, and I won off of it.
I love it.
All right, man. We appreciate you joining us, man. Enjoy the game coming up on Sunday.
Absolutely. Take care, guys.
All right, that's Benjamin Albright. Covers the Broncos in Denver, and he's been a staple there for years. And I'm glad we're able to get him on.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson. On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers, the celebrity guests? Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Good job by you, Tyler. Very, very detailed guy there to give us everything we need to know about the Broncos. Hearing him, Clint, did that make you feel better about the game for the Texans? Anything? He talked about Surtain being big, being out as a big thing, and talked about the Bo Nix and Sean Payton situation?
Well, I think offensively, you know, as a Texans fan, I like hearing the fact that there's times Sean will shoot himself in the foot and get away from the run, try to get creative, try to do too much. I mean, you just heard D'Amico Ryans right before he came on talking about, look, they're going to strain you in several different ways. It's about variety. They're going to throw a million different things at you. So there obviously there's some truth to what he's saying. There is, in Sean's defense, there's a method to the madness, right? I'm going to make you defend me sideline to sideline, even if it means that I get away from the run a little bit. I'm setting you up to hit you on this side. I mean, there's a lot of that to Sean, of the forward thinking, the running certain plays that may not work to set up other plays, the pump screens, the, you know, different things. There's always a method to the madness with Sean. Obviously, every play he's trying to break it and get it, you know, move the ball and score points. But there's always a method to the madness of him, you know, calling certain plays and why he's getting away from the run. There's a reason why he's not just doing it because he wants to get pass happy. He's doing it for a reason that may or may not work. But that is a good thing because, you know, the Texans are going to need Sean to do some boneheaded things. And this defense is going to need to help them.
Well, he hadn't gotten away from it that much this year. I mean, they're third in the league. They run for 140 yards a game. So, and then I would imagine, Clint, you know, as you've worked with Sean, he's no fool. He understands that Will Anderson and I know he says you can't sack Bo. I don't know. I think Sean knows that Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter and D'Amico are a little different.
Yeah.
Right. And there can be problems made there.
Well,
so
Sean will
bet you he runs the ball a lot more.
Or Sean will have a plan.
Yeah.
For both of those guys. Now, whether it works, you know, I don't know. But Sean will. I mean, he is one of the more detail oriented guys that I was ever around. And he was under Bill Parcells, and so that was a Bill Parcells thing as well. But there's no situation. There's no player, especially when it's the strength of Will Anderson, Danielle Hunter, ultimately the identity of this defense. He will have a plan for those guys, whether it's run right at them, whether it's some kind of interesting blocking scheme, or it's a multitude of different kinds of chips. He'll have protections where the guards are pulling and getting out and helping when he's trying to move the pocket. There'll be an attempt schematically to keep those guys on their toes. And again, now whether they can execute it or not, or whether it backfires on them because they're trying to do too much or not, that could become a problem as well.
Yeah. All right. Shout out to Benjamin Albright. Good to hear what he thinks about this team and the Broncos in this game, as it's a big one coming up on Sunday.
Hi, I'm Dr. Mary Claire Haver, a board-certified OBGYN and menopause specialist. My new podcast, Unpaused, is the place for bold, unfiltered conversations about what it really takes for women to thrive in the second half of life. Every week, I sit down with medical experts, cultural icons, and powerhouse women to talk about what really matters: your health, your power, and your future. We're covering hormones, identity, finances, relationships, and so much more. New episodes drop every Tuesday. Listen to and follow Unpaused with me, Dr. Mary Claire Haver, available now wherever you get your podcasts.